Welcome to another eBizQ podcast.
Hello, this is eBizQ's Peter Schoaf, and once again, I have the pleasure of speaking with Neil Ward-Dutton, who is the co-founder and research director of MWD Advisors. Neil is clearly one of Europe's most experienced and high-profile IP industry analysts, and I'm excited to have him in this Q&A because right now we're going to discuss the exciting year ahead for BPM. So first of all, Neil, thanks once again so much for joining me today.
You're very welcome, Peter. It's a pleasure.
So to start it off, what do you see ahead for BPM in 2013?
Well, if I had to sum it up in just a couple of words, it would be more and more, but less and less. So, I think if we look at BPM technology, so BPMS and the related tools, those things are going to be in more and more places in 2013. But I think we might see them less and less. So what I really mean here is we're going to see a lot more of this stuff being embedded, if you like, into other kinds of platform and tooling. So, you know, this has been happening for a while as this has become more of a mainstream proposition. We've moved away from the early days of BPM where you had evangelists and innovators who saw this very quickly. They understood the opportunity around BPM, BPMS. And they understood, I see this is something we could use a BPMS for. Now I speak to a lot of people who end up using this stuff and they don't realize they have, in quotes, BPM problem. And they don't realize they're using, in quotes, BPM technology. They're using a lot of the stuff we associate with BPM, but they think, they're dealing with a customer onboarding problem or, a customer servicing problem or a partner management problem. And you can see this kind of embedding happening. One way is by looking at what a lot of the big application vendors are doing and how this technology and the techniques around it are becoming embedded in more things like Oracle Fusion portfolio and SAP's portfolio and IBM's new acquisitions that are more application-like and so on. So that's really, in a nutshell, where I think we're going at a high level with this technology next year.
Very interesting, and that certainly makes a lot of sense. Now, anybody that's read anything about BPM last year has clearly read something, one or two things about case management. Now, going ahead, what role do you see case management playing in all this?
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be a really exciting year for anyone who's involved in case management, whether that's from the point of view of selling it or helping people implement it or, you know, the customers using the technology and making it work. One of the things we're finding is that when we survey practitioners who self-identify with process improvement, and we ask them what they think of automation and BPMS. Broadly speaking, although that broader community hasn't gotten hugely involved in BPM process automation exercises, we see them across the board pretty positive overall about the technology and how they're getting involved. But one of the areas that we do see them being a bit turned off by is there's a perception that the technology today is really kind of about technology telling people what to do. And a lot of that broader community in process improvement seems to have quite a negative perception based around that. And clearly, you know, nobody really wants to be told what to do by technology. That's not a completely accurate perception, but I think that's just one symptom of a broader thing here, which is that we're seeing more and more focus around how organizations improve and how they get work done better. We're seeing more and more focus on things which aren't really easily reducible down to recipes, procedural recipes of, you know, do A, then B, then C, then D, then E, and if you have a problem, then do F. We're seeing, you know, at a high level, more and more organizations have actually got to grips with a lot of the really procedural, straightforward, straight through kind of stuff that's maybe been outsourced or it's been automated already or it's already been dealt with or it's being dealt with. So the next hurdle, the next kind of flag to try and get to is really how do we improve the way we manage that work which can't be dealt with in that way? The kind of the less easily designable work, if you like, stuff that has to be a little bit more on the fly, where we know the goal we're trying to reach. We know some of what we have to do to reach that goal, but we don't necessarily know everything. And we probably certainly don't know the order we might need to do things in. So this is more of a case, a kind of approach where case management technology and techniques absolutely are really appropriate. And I think we're going to see a lot of this kind of stuff happening, particularly in customer-facing kinds of scenario, where, you know, the heritage of process improvement is in manufacturing, where essentially what you're trying to do is transform some kind of raw material into some kind of product. But you know what? If you're dealing in a customer-facing role, transforming a grumpy customer into a happy customer is not like turning raw steel into, you know, nails. There's a big difference there, and we need different approaches. I think we're going to see a lot of stuff happening around case management in those customer-facing scenarios.
Very interesting. And yeah, in terms of customer-facing, I certainly see case management playing a role. Now, again, looking at the year ahead, where do you think BPM will see the most growth in the next year, in what industry or what capacity?
Well, you know what? I think we're going to see BPM as a really powerful force, but I think it's going to be you might look at it, if we let's say we're having this conversation and looking back at 2013, we're having this conversation again in a year's time. I think one of the ways that we might be looking back at it is a kind of a splintering. So there's a whole group of things that people do today that we kind of lump under one term of BPM, and I think we're going to see more of this being done without the others. So just to get specific, I think we're going to see a lot more focus around measurement and around what you might think of it as operational intelligence. So using event processing technologies and analytics to basically figure out how processes are executing and getting from that, getting insight into the current state of operations and the health of operations in the business sense, not in the technology sense. And I think we'll see a lot of people trying to do that without necessarily trying to do some of the automation stuff. And naturally, right, until now, we've really seen those things kind of lumped together. And interestingly, when people do a lot of automation, they quite often don't really think about the measurement. The measurement comes afterwards or not at all, depending on how it's been approached. I think we're going to see quite a lot of growth next year around people really coming at this with a mindset of, we need to understand how things are performing and where we're doing well and where we're not doing well, and get that baseline and then see what we can do from that point. And right now, the way people do that is they don't really do that with a lot of data collected from operational systems. They do it through simulation. They do it through human observation and extrapolation and so on. So I think we're going to see things like process mining technologies. I think we're going to see, some people might call it big data or event analytics, being used to basically mine the environment, the operational environment, and create these views. And I think we're going to see a lot more focus around measurement. Now, when it comes to industry by industry, I think we're going to see a lot broader growth, actually, and a lot broader involvement across industries, whereas in the past, a lot of the investment in this stuff has been from financial services and telco and utilities and insurance specifically has been a big driver of this. I think we're going to see broader involvement, actually, as the imperative around delivering great customer experiences kind of drives back into people figuring out, how do we be more effective in giving people great experiences? That then quickly leads on to, how do we measure how we're doing? How do we do that in real time? And how do we coordinate work? And clearly, both of those things are tied into BPM. So I think, you know, with the caveat already that BPM might become less visible as one single coherent thing, I think the pieces of BPM are going to be much broader deployed across a wider range of industries than it ever has before.
So essentially, another big year for BPM so far, looking forward. We also saw the clear effects of mobile and social on essentially how do you do your work. How do you think this will continue to affect BPM in the year ahead?
Well, yeah, I think that's a really good one. And I this was the question you sent me earlier that I probably spent most of the time trying to figure out how to boil this down. I think what we've really seen in 2012 is actually just the very, very first signs of what people are going to do. I think although there's been some technology, in terms of what people are going to do with that technology, I think we've only just started to see the beginnings of this. And fundamentally, I think a lot of the stuff we see around mobile is kind of a distraction. You know, we see a lot of people focusing on, hey, how do we get a UI for some of our process applications that works on an iPad or an Android phone? And that's, to me, that is just a distraction. I don't think that's particularly interesting. And it's kind of like a tick in the box that you probably have to have if you're trying to sell this. But what's much more interesting about both mobile and social is that they both really change the cost and the benefit of information exchange and sharing in an organization and between organizations. And so from that perspective, you can see them as a kind of an evolution of a lot of the things that have been happening in technology for decades. Mobile and social, they both take the economics of information sharing even further, because it makes it easier to share and exchange information further and faster and with less cost for the person consuming it. What does that mean? That's kind of like an analyst fancy schmancy way of talking, I suppose. And to put it concretely, what does it really mean? It means, I think, that when people figure out what to do with mobile and social in their processes, in their organizations, it really means about opening up new possibilities for coordinating work with less friction. So this is about getting information and work to new places with less handovers, with fewer handovers, with less opportunity for error or having to do rework, and with being able to involve more people in understanding how things are progressing. So you think about social engagement and activity streams and all that kind of stuff. These things enable you to get many more participants and interested parties to be able to have oversight and to understand how work's progressing. And when you look at it from an expertise location point of view, clearly social technologies have the opportunity to give you a platform where you can rapidly solve problems by just pulling people together in an ad hoc fashion. And all of those things are about coordinating work and information, but it's about doing it further and faster and at lower cost in a broader sense than ever before. So I think that we're going to see a lot more stuff in mobile and social in 2013. I think it's going to be a lot more interesting than just, hey, look, we've got an activity stream front end, or, hey, look, we can run on an iPad. Frankly, that's kind of boring. The really interesting stuff, I think, is going to come in the coming years.
Very cool. Now, we've certainly seen a lot of BPM hype this past year. What would you say are the key steps a company can take to make sure their BPMS lives up to the hype?
Okay, so I think there's lots and lots. You know, we do a lot of case study interviews and consulting work.
Indeed.
And we get, you know, we've got lists and lists and lists of things that come up. But I think it really comes down to two fundamental things. And the first is to really take the time to think about how any particular problem you're trying to solve, how this stems from and links into your end customer's experience. So why is that important? The reason why it's important is that it's only by kind of zooming out, if you like, so that you can see the picture, which also has the customer in it, and you see how the problem you're trying to solve links into that picture. It's only when you can see that big picture you really understand what are the important things about this problem and which bits do we need to tackle first and which of the bits are kind of a distraction or a red herring, if you like. Which are the bits of this problem that are the really important bits to get right and how should we be measuring success? It's only when you really see that bigger picture with the customer in it that you can really make that call. So there's lots of detail around that, but that's one of the super meta considerations a lot of this boils down to. And the other one is really about, okay, once you've figured out how to do the right things, so how you've figured out, okay, what does it mean to be effective and link this into delivering stuff for the customer, then you're thinking about how to actually make this happen. How do we progress this project? How do we make the change we need to make? And that one really all boils down to communication. And there's so many things that are important to get right, but they all boil down to BPM, BPMS implementation is going to drive change in your organization. It's going to change quite possibly the way people work, the way they're measured, and the technology they use as they do their work. That's a lot of change for people to accept. And fundamentally, you've got one small group of people who are trying to make a change, trying to convince a much larger group of people that they need to change the way they work. And there's no way of doing that without communicating. And really, so much of this comes down to making sure that you know who the people are who are going to be affected, what they need, what they want, what they're afraid of, how you can encourage them to change, how you can get them to see the big picture, and tying all that together in a concrete plan of action. That's really what a lot of it comes down to when you're talking about how do you really get the value and how do you live up to the hype. It just really comes down to people. And we often use this term soft skills, which is I think is actually a tremendously misleading way to talk about it. We tend to think of technology as the hard bit and the people stuff is the soft bit. I actually think it's the other way around. And it's the people stuff that teams often maybe not forget, but leave till too late and don't spend enough time on. And that's really the secret.
Excellent advice, Neil. This is EbizQ's Peter Schoaf speaking with Neil Ward-Dutton of MWD Advisors. Anyone listening, you probably do want to check out MWD's website, as they always have excellent up-to-date case studies and information of what's going on. So, Neil, just want to say thank you so very much for an excellent podcast.
You're very welcome. It's great to speak to you again.
This has been an EbizQ podcast.